Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Clipper Fleet. And on the fan hotline presented by Nemecolon. Around every corner, Nemecolon creates real-life magic for guests. Aditi All-Access NFL Network reporter. She was in the eye of the hurricane down on the field for this game. And then part of everything that transpired post-game from the dramatic, emotional Steelers win over the Ravens. Aditi, is this the first time you're hearing about the Ravens' complaint regarding a potential penalty on the two-point play?
Okay, so I feel a little bit hesitant to call it a complaint because I haven't actually heard it. And what I know of John Harbaugh, he doesn't sit and moan about things that have already happened.
But I'm saying if they were coming off the field tearing into the officials, that would be a relevant thing. And it sounds to me like you didn't at least see that firsthand, right?
Well, I didn't because the Steelers didn't allow me on the field. My credential was changed yesterday, and so I was not allowed on the field up until kickoff, and I was not allowed on the field in the 2 minutes after the game, which I usually am. So, in the interest of full disclosure, I did not have the same access yesterday at Heinz Field that I usually do.
But you've not heard from anybody from the Ravens. This is the first you're hearing about this controversy at the end of the game. Okay.
But, and I will say this, that in 10 years of covering the Ravens organization, they're not an outfit that sits here and harps on, you know, one singular thing. It's not like they're going to sit. The next time that I talk to John Harbaugh, which will be this week, he's not going to sit here and say, oh, we lost this game because of this one awful, horrible thing. Mm-hmm. It's just not the way that they operate.
Did you like the decision to go for two?
I appreciated the gutsiness of it. I acknowledge that he felt that his defense was not stopping the Steelers and that he didn't know who was going to play cornerback for him. I also recognize that it was a tremendous play and that at some point your guy needs to beat the other guy. And even though TJ Watt completely messed with Lamar Jackson, you had complete faith in your guy to throw a good ball. Mm-hmm. Mark Andrews was wide open. I mean, if that ball is literally 2 inches to the left, Mark Andrews catches that ball and gets in. But not even 2 inches, maybe 1 inch.
I thought Mark Andrews could have caught the ball.
At some point, the game of football, well, I did too. But at some point, the game of football is man on man. And it's Lamar Jackson versus TJ Watt. And TJ Watt, who is taller and wider and all of those things that Lamar Jackson said, and obviously the presumptive defensive player of the year, is messing with Lamar Jackson, who is ostensibly a perennial MVP candidate and the single most dynamic player in the National Football League right now. One of them needs to win. And last night, in that moment, TJ Watt won. But it was a great play. And had it worked, none of us would say that was a bad call.
Let's go back to what you just said there about Watt and his DPOY credentials. I had to think about that as I said it, that I was abbreviating properly.
Hold on. I pulled up the condensed game.
Yeah.
And I have the two-point play in front of me.
Yep.
And from the angle I'm seeing, it sure looks like a Steelers hand is actually like...
Who is it? Do we know? Get a screenshot of it and put it out there, and let's see what Steelers fans think of it.
Wait. Finish that sentence. There's a Steelers hand what?
His hand looks like it is...
Whose hand?
One of the Steelers' down linemen.
Okay.
His hand looks like it is like even or almost beyond the ball where the Ravens center is holding it. So
okay, so that's the
I would imagine
neutral
zone thing.
Wanted.
Okay,
yeah, for sure.
the Watt comment that you just made there.
And to that point, John Harbaugh generally doesn't manufacture nonsense. I mean, he's been in the league long enough to recognize that sometimes it goes this way and sometimes it goes that way. If he's actively sitting here and saying, yeah, something happened, well, something happened.
The Watt thing. Can a guy be the defensive player of the year on an average to below average defense? If the Steelers go Well, I'm asking you as someone that is around people that vote on these things.
Well, the problem is that voters are succumbed. This is the same exact idea of, is the Heisman Trophy winner the most valuable player on any significant team? Is it the best player on any team? Or is it the best player on the best team?
Okay.
And often we buy into this idea that, oh, this team was so great, so we have to choose this person. Mm-hmm. But I literally had a conversation with somebody today who is very, very, very high up in a front office in the National Football League who said TJ Watt should not just be DPOY, he should be MVP. Because the Pittsburgh Steelers are a completely different team, period. Not different team defensively, not different team offensively, different team, period, when TJ Watt plays.
Damn.
I mean, what are they in games that he actually like starts and finishes 6-0, basically?
When he plays most of the game, if not all of the game, they're 6-2 with him.
Which would leave them at 0-3-1 without him.
Yep.
To various capacities.
Which gets down to like...
And that's the whole point, guys. Like, you know, Mike Tomlin, what is the nicest way to say this? Because I don't want fans to like
go on.
Jack me about this. Mike Tomlin teases me about constantly asking emotional questions or feeling questions. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, the game of football does indeed have motivating factors that are not necessarily black and white. And there are certain players that come on the field and have an infectious energy in a certain way and have an impact in a certain way and bleed in a certain way that affects everybody else. And so it's very easy for us to sit here and look at TJ Watt and say, oh yeah, yesterday he had 12 quarterback pressures. And oh yeah, he had 3.5 sacks. And oh yeah, he hit Lamar Jackson. And oh yeah, he messed up Lamar Jackson's throw that ended in Minkah Fitzpatrick's interception. And he messed up Lamar Jackson's throw that led to a failed 2-point conversion. Mm-hmm. Yes, those are statistical facts. But there are also things about TJ Watt that bleed to everybody else in a certain way.
So I want to ask you
let me say this one last line. It goes to Tom Brady. Tom Brady works harder than everybody else on every team that he's ever been on. If you are the best player on your team and you show up before everybody else and you leave after everybody else and you drill everything that you know in your sleep more than anybody else, how does that motivate every other player on your team? What does that make every other player on your team do? So that's my point about TJ Watt, is that he's sitting at home with a COVID diagnosis and he's running around in his backyard and he's running around trees and he's dealing with COVID symptoms and still working his tail off and he's watching practice footage and he's not binging on some HBO special. He is working to try to get back and be an impactful part of this team in this key game.
Which, by the way, I recommend King Richard. If you're looking for something on HBO Max,
I'm just thinking,
Will Smith as Venus and Serena Williams' dad is a very... You're not interested?
I just don't... I know I won't have the patience to watch the whole thing.
Why?
I like watching movies. I watched the movie Heat from 1995 this weekend.
Oh, my.
Pacino, De Niro, Val Kilmer.
Yeah, but wait a minute.
Why? Not a documentary person in general?
It's not a documentary.
Not like reality?
It's Will Smith as Richard Williams,
like,
and it's a very good watch.
Aditi, I like taking a break from reality typically whenever I have the chance.
Yeah, and Heat starring Al Pacino is just that escapism that you're craving. Yeah.
Correct.
Wow.
All I can think of now with Aditi's Tom Brady point is Doran Dickerson, who never actually played a snap in the regular season for the Patriots, telling us of standing at the urinal his first day there at like 6 a.m. because he was nervous and he wanted to get there early. And Brady walks in, stands next to him, knows his name, and then just says, "Hey, Doran, I just love to win, man." Like, very bizarre type stuff, but I imagine if I were Tom Brady's teammate, that would fire me up quite a bit. Mm. Anyway.
I mean, but yeah, that's a given. But that all goes back to the whole point of TJ Watt's value to this team, and that his value is beyond the stat line.
Well, I find it funny that Mike Tomlin would chide or give you a hard time about asking emotional questions. He is known as one of the most like chief motivators of coaches in the NFL. People don't talk as much about his X's and O's.
All games are created equally.
Oh, I've got this incredible fire blitz. It's he gets his guys up for the biggest games. That's why they tend to play well, and then seem
unless
to have
you're playing at the Cincinnati Bengals.
Fair. That would be an exception to that rule.
I believe that was a notable exception of an ass-kicking that happened when he made it important. But that's why they lose to Mike That's why Mike Glennon's 2-0 against the Steelers and 4-22 the rest of his career in the NFL.
I want to ask you, Aditi, about the emotions with Roethlisberger next segment. But before we do that, quickly on Lamar Jackson. Like, they have to be worried in Baltimore about these interceptions and some of these throws, like everything you're saying about how he can score a touchdown with his legs on any given play is 100% true. Anytime he is pressured and he gets out of there and he takes off and runs, I think he might score a touchdown on this play. But then there are other times where the ball leaves his hand that I'm like, this could very well be an interception that loses them the game. Like, he has made some hideous decisions with the ball lately, and I just wonder how much that's in his head, too, because there's the contract that's at the end of the year that's playing into this whole thing.
I don't know that the contract is affecting him as much, but I do think that his confidence is shaken in a certain way.
Yeah, and I would be worried about that because I would not accept for my third-string quarterback the decision he makes when he's pressured and he throws that Minka interception that his answer is, I'm going to start falling backwards and just throw the ball up for grabs here and see what happens.
I mean, it worked against the Browns.
And that was a question, But that's a point. And you know what's so interesting is that this was a point made about Ben Roethlisberger early in his career. Like the idea of throwing the ball away to live to see another down. Because if you recall, Ben, very early in his career, was the ultimate gamer who sometimes made horrible decisions simply because he refused to give up.
Yep.
To me,
constantly had hope something could happen. And that's where Lamar is.
To me, though, like where the analog for Lamar right now is actually, I see a lot of throws he's attempting to make that are going very poorly that, frankly, I've seen Patrick Mahomes attempt to make this year, and they've also gone poorly, but they've gone well for him in the past. Like, I just think when you're that talented, it's very hard. Ben would apply here too early in his career. It's very hard to rein in the tendency to think this isn't going to work out in my favor because it almost always does.
I think that that's playing the numbers, right? And it's what do I have a greater chance at? This whole division in general, guys, has me so flummoxed.
Mm. Pick a winner today of the division. Right now, if I just put you to one of four teams, who's going to win this division?
The Bengals.
Wow.
And just so you know, 2 days ago, that's not what I would have said.
I mean, I agree with you because I think they are clearly the most talented team, and the Ravens don't have Marlon
the
Humphrey for the year.
Team.
Well, Joseph Burrow's got a dislocated finger now, so I'm not so sure about that.
Yeah, but I don't. But ultimately, that offense needs to run through Joseph Mixon, not Joseph Burrow. So it doesn't matter as long
but he's
as Zach
banged
Taylor
up too.
Is smart enough to run. He'll be fine. I'll message him right now and say, Joe, are you okay? I mean, when we talked yesterday,
what
he was
access?
Fine.
That's why we have you on. Send a text and get an answer.
Well, sure, but you know, it speaks to what sort of people you are dealing with as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like whether people respond or not. It's funny because up until yesterday, I was still riding the Ravens, guys, because of their leadership, because of John Harbaugh, because I felt like the defense was coming around, because Lamar Jackson, at the end of the day, no matter what messiness we're seeing, is still one of the single most dynamic players in the NFL that you never know what can happen. It's sort of like a few years ago when we all had AB in town. You give the ball, you put the ball in his hands and you have no idea. Like he can break open a game at any moment. And that's the same feeling with Lamar Jackson. And when you have a player like that who can break open a game at any moment, you can't count that team out. But then yesterday, that offense was so, so, so terrible. And there was a question of, has Greg Roman evolved in any way in the last 12 years? And there is legitimate talent in Devin Duvernay and Rashad Bateman and Sammy Watkins. And why are we not seeing any of these guys being used? And why can they not handle the cover zero? And why? How many times did you see Lamar Jackson have 5, 6, 7, 8 seconds and still couldn't find anybody to throw to? And it's not like the Steelers have the best secondary on the planet that he still couldn't find.
No, they had Witherspoon out there yesterday. Texas on the Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text line. Coming up next, into the emotional ups and downs of Roethlisberger's day.
He's playing comfortable. He calling what he see. You know, he's able to adjust whenever he wants to, and we comfortable too as well. Not taking anything from the OC. We just plan. We just do whatever he tell us to do, and the offense just rally around him.
When you're playing that style of offense, they tend to get more vanilla. You kind of dictate what they do a little bit more. So that's why sometimes you can take advantage of things in that mode of offense.
4:33, brought to you by Goodrich & Geist. Get the good guys. Goodrich & Geist, Pittsburgh's personal injury attorneys. All access with Aditi Kinkabwala. I, for one, get annoyed every time vanilla gets disparaged like that.
It's a terrible flavor. It's terrible.
It's the best one.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
What is the matter with you?
It's a great base. You can throw...
When you put ice cream out there in a bowl, you're not thinking, delicious base.
But it goes with anything. It
you
pairs
ever tried
with
hot
everything.
Fudge on chocolate ice cream? It's incredible.
No, it's chocolade overload. Aditi agrees. She's telling Donnie off mic that I'm right again.
You're not, though.
Yeah, it is. Another win.
Whenever we would get Neapolitan ice cream as kids, right, and it comes in those very neat three stripes, I'll tell you what in the Mueller house got eaten first. Chocolate and strawberry, and then my dad would have to suck it up and eat the vanilla.
That is, you were a communist state.
A communist state?
Yeah. You might as well be off
just
the excess
put me in
of
the,
evil.
Put me in the Soviet bloc.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Aditi, what do you make of the fact that the offense only took off once they went to the no huddle yesterday? Ben in the last three drives had a perfect passer rating and only one incompletion and two touchdowns.
Wait, say that one more time. I'm really sorry.
What do you make of the Steelers really only finding success once they went to the no huddle and the draw it up in the dirt portion of the offense?
That we're going to see a lot more of that at this point. Because that is what Ben Roethlisberger is completely comfortable in. That's what bleeds confidence to his teammates. And isn't that exactly what Deontay Johnson said?
Yes.
I mean, yeah. So then what? I mean, at this point, it's sort of like this is one of those things where you're trying to put a square peg in a round hole. Like, we know who he is. We know how he operates. We know what makes him comfortable. We know what his teammates are saying. So at this point, why continue to try to pigeonhole him into another offense that clearly isn't working for
but that's
them?
Like, that's like kicking Matt Canada like out of the bar. Like, Lee, we don't have enough room for you here. We've met our occupancy number.
Didn't like, Ben try to like sort of extend the olive branch by saying, sometimes when we muddle huddle, it's still Coach Canada calling the play into my headset. Like, I thought he actually tried to be like magnanimous.
Diplomatic about it? Yeah, but then Johnson pretty much squashed that and said, this is pretty much Ben doing his thing and we all follow. Because he's got the veteran savvy to make it happen.
Which, you know, Trey Essex was the one who tweeted that at some point yesterday and said, Ben Roethlisberger knows how to beat the Ravens. Matt Canada doesn't. Just let Ben take over.
That was clairvoyant, huh?
To some degree, yes. But what is the problem with this offense that it goes from, you know, one valley to one high to one valley? Like, how can you believe in this offense? Can you literally think that this offense will, no matter what, be able to put together a drive to compete at the end of a game, no matter what? I mean,
no.
Are you willing to say that?
No, I'm not.
No, I'm not.
Who do you like in the division right now? Please, like, speak honestly.
I like
the
Bengals.
Not be worried about going home to your neighbors. Oh, you do? Okay, tell me why, please.
Best roster, healthiest roster. I think probably all things being equal, pretty clearly now, best quarterback. I mean, I like their skill.
I like Burrow the most of any quarterback in the division before the season started.
Yeah,
that's why I
like
thought
Burrow
they were a live dog.
I love their skill talent. I think their top three receivers, their running back, and their tight end, their big five skill guys are better than anybody else's. And I think their offensive and defensive lines are playing way, way, way better than a lot of people expected. So even though they keep like stumbling and tripping head over heels when it looks like they're going to get going, I still think they have enough juice left in the tank to win. And they also have a win over the Ravens, Aditi, already.
In Baltimore,
which is why...
Which, to be fair, because I was at that game, guys, that was very much the Ravens already looking to their bye. The Ravens were hot off of their pounding of the Chargers. Their bye week was coming. They thought this was kind of like, okay, we'll be fine. And it was very much a second half that blew
up
the game.
Okay, I'm just saying more in practical terms. Like, now that the Ravens are within one loss of each other and everything else, and the Bengals obviously missed an opportunity, but they're going to get a chance in their own building to pull into a virtual tie with the Ravens if they can avoid screwing up.
I think that the Bengals have the most talent. I think the Bengals are the healthiest. The thing that concerns me the most is their coaching experience.
Or lack thereof.
And exactly. And the piece of that is I talked to Zach Taylor after. So I was absolutely aflame, if that's the right way to say it. At the end of the Jets game, the Bengals were playing the Jets. They had a 5-point lead with 4.5 minutes to left. If that's me, I'm giving the ball to Joe Mixon, who I think is one of the two best backs in the division for sure, and probably the NFL. And I'm letting him seal the game, because the week before, that's exactly what he did in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. But instead, Zach Taylor decides to throw the ball and Joe Burrow throws an interception. And so Taylor and I talked on the phone for like 30, 45 minutes that week. And I said, well, can you just please explain to me why you didn't run the ball? And he said, well, it's not always that easy that you run the ball. And I said, well, I don't understand. Like, you get 3 yards and then you get another 3 yards and then you get 4 yards. And that's the way the run game works. And he said, well, if that's the way the game would work, I would just run the ball all the time. And I said, well, I don't get why you don't. And it was a very, you know, like, I don't want to call it testy, but it was an interesting conversation. And the next week, you know what he did? He gave the ball to Joe Mixon and he let Joe Mixon run the ball. And then you know what he did the next week? He gave the ball to Joe Mixon and he let Joe Mixon run the ball. And I felt like, okay, this is how your offense needs to run. And you give the ball to Joe Mixon and they were out in Las Vegas. Max Crosby, Yannick Ngakoue can't get off on Burrow. It opens up the entire game if you are able to establish the run right away. And we saw that last week, guys, against the Steelers. When the Bengals just came out, they gave Mixon the ball. Mixon just rammed the ball down their throat, and the Steelers are immediately on their heels. So my trouble with the Bengals is that I don't know that Zach Taylor, same as I would say this about Kevin Stefanski, your teams are based on the run. Your team, everything that you want to offensively do starts with the run game. So stop being so enamored of this idea of, you know, being innovative and cute and trying, like, just play old school football and run the ball. And if the Browns and the Bengals can do that, then I would feel much better about both of them, quite frankly.
I think the division's interesting.
Go ahead.
Aditi, because like the Bengals, I think have the overall best team right now and best quarterback for sure. The Browns might have when they're healthy, although they're not the most talented roster still. The Ravens have Lamar Jackson, who's dynamic and unique. Even when things aren't going well, he can still make them. The Steelers' quality that I would say keeps them in this thing is more than anything. They have that quality of a villain in a horror movie who you have to shoot in the head like 10 times before they actually die. And they keep proving that like every other week by somehow winning these games.
You know, and this is something that I said a month ago when I was trying to break down the division. And I said, you just can't count out the Steelers because there is way too much closing power and closing experience in Ben Roethlisberger and Mike Tomlin. And I don't care what anybody says about emotion. I think that that really, really matters. I think the fact that the Ravens have been playing such crap football and have still won one possession games, the fact that the Steelers have been playing such crap offense and have won 6 1 possession games speaks to their coaching, their leadership, their veteran leadership, and the fact that they know how to close out mm-hmm. a game. And I think there's something to be said for that. Look, I talked to Bradley Bozeman, the Ravens center, this week, and we were talking about how ridiculous these Ravens games are. And he said, you can say it's ugly and you can say it's awful, or I can say it's the most exciting football that I've ever been a part of. And I said, okay, fine. But he said he has never, ever, ever been a part of a team that had more faith and certainty that at the end of the game, they were going to come up with a play. And even yesterday, I think that that's what we saw, right? Like the Steelers went and they scored, and the Ravens, who couldn't do anything pretty all night, suddenly are driving down the field. They score the touchdown. You know, Lamar Jackson hits Sammy Watkins, and then they go for the two. They don't go for the two if they don't think that we're going to make it. We have faith. We believe in ourselves. We believe that we can make this happen. And as much as everybody on the outside thinks that going for the 2 points at the end of the game was a flyer, the Ravens didn't think it was a flyer. They thought it was a sure thing. And quite frankly, Mark Andrews is open. If Lamar Jackson just puts that ball 1 inch to the left, the Steelers lose that game. Which is why I have such a hard time right now, guys, saying, okay, we're looking at two teams that are going in opposite directions. Like, are you ready to sit here and say, okay, the Steelers are ready to go on a run and they're suddenly going to
I'm not ready to get a playoff berth or any of that? I'm not ready to say anything about the Steelers. I think they could go out and beat the Vikings in a close game or lose by 25. I honestly have no feel or idea about this division anymore. None.
I wish I could disagree with you, but as somebody who has watched all four teams live in person multiple times this year, I mean, I'll tell you, prior to this weekend, I was riding the Ravens because I just felt like there was a level of experience that really mattered. And again, it was a Lamar Jackson thing. And then I saw them this weekend and I just was like, oh, you know, like you can go through a slump for maybe 2 weeks, but not four. And the offense has not evolved in any way of any kind. They're not using the talent that's available to them. And then they lose Marlon Humphrey and their secondary is already completely decrepit. And as you all know, defense is about not just pressure, but pressure and coverage. So now I'm not buying them. Mm. And then the Bengals, as you keep saying, yes, seemingly we should buy them, but they can't win more than two games in a row. If you want to be a playoff contender, you need to know how to stack more than two wins.
Follow us on Twitter at 93.7 The Fan, driven by Jim Shorkey, Kia Wexford, North Huntington, and Uniontown. We're going all access with Aditi. We'll get back into Roethlisberger and what yesterday meant for his future and everything else that happened this weekend with him. 4:53, brought to you by Living Treasures Animal Park. Take a walk on the wild side. All access with Aditi Kinkabwala of the NFL Network. So, Schefter says that Ben's done with the Steelers after this year. And then Ben gets the game ball afterwards, and there's all kinds of conversation about the finality of his Steelers career and if he's trying to soak it all up or take it all in, Aditi, because he knows this is the last time he plays the Steelers, plays the Ravens in Pittsburgh, and he wants to really be self-aware and cognizant of all that. Do you buy into that narrative? Like, are you someone who's followed this saga and thinks, yeah, that's right. He is in his final days as Steelers quarterback, and he is trying to make the most of it.
News. We have said this all year. We have acknowledged this from the very beginning of the season.
Disagree.
That this is based. Oh, really?
I do.
Disagree.
I think that there are Steelers insiders that with every good game from Ben leave the door open for him coming back to 2020.
I have been told from extremely, extremely, extremely good sources that are extremely, extremely, extremely close to Ben Roethlisberger that this is the swan song. And this report, quote unquote report this weekend, was nothing new, not any news. And what we saw in Mike Tomlin being like, oh, this is very interesting that this was dropped just now. I think that just because Ben Roethlisberger hasn't announced, hey, this is my swan song, everybody give me a farewell and a retirement gift everywhere I show up, doesn't mean that he doesn't acknowledge where he is in his career and the way the Steelers strung him along, even about bringing him back. And well, I think that this is almost
you just
much
used the
about
R word.
Nothing.
You just used the R word, which I've noticed in the reporting of this from ESPN. Has been left out.
Yeah, always been a qualifier. It's always been a qualifier. Last year in Pittsburgh.
He's not playing anywhere else. Come on, guys.
Him going to Jacksonville.
Wait a minute.
Come on, Pony.
Don't get
it. Stop it.
Hold on
a
second.
Come on, Pony. Name me one team.
Hold on a second.
Pony, right now, name me one team.
I can't.
Team
all I'm
that
sa-
would say, I want Ben Roethlisberger to be my starting quarterback.
The Steelers, maybe.
The Texans.
All I'm saying is, don't get on us. Somebody with millions of followers who's paid to cover the NFL won't use the R word. I'm not Don't kill the messenger here. I'm just saying that I find it fascinating that he won't say that word and that he has to couch it in the semantics of finishing up with the Steelers, which every time that gets put out there, I'm like, so what does that mean? That he's not going to be done at the end of the year?
You were asking me to break down how the sausage is made.
Yes, because you're in it.
By a sausage maker?
You work in the factory.
But I am not that, so I am not a sausage maker.
But you're familiar with the sausage process.
She's a vegetarian, pony.
But she,
it's a different kind of news gathering.
And this is why I love you, Mueller. Exactly.
But guess what, though? She has more of an insight or inside opinion on how that kind of thing gets put out there more than I do. I don't know.
So do you think Schefter had a Dear Mr. Editor moment where he had to make sure it was cool?
I don't know.
Okay. Can we move on to, do we think, how many weeks are left in the season? Five? Do we have five or six left?
God, I can't even, five, five games.
The Steelers are 6-5-1.
Five games.
So they have five games left.
I'm putting you both on the hot seat right now. Yes or no? Crap. Steelers are making the playoffs.
No.
No hesitation. No, but that out of either of
that
you.
Doesn't, I'm trying to enjoy what happened yesterday without having to qualify everything by saying, but I still don't think they're going to finish with a winning record or make the playoffs.
Okay, what was more fun? Was Saturday night more fun or was Sunday more fun?
Saturday night.
For me, Sunday was.
Saturday, way more for me. Pony was at Pony. Some part of him was rooting against Pitt because he's a Syracuse guy.
No, not even close. There's not a rivalry between those two schools. There's no rivalry in basketball because Syracuse wins the games that matter. And there's no rivalry in football because Syracuse never beats Pitt. And you can't argue either one of those takes.
When Paul Pasqualoni was there, though, Syracuse.
When Paul Pasqualoni was there, I didn't have pubic hair. I hadn't even gone through adolescence. It's true.
What do we.
Did we have to approved?
Yes.
Did we have to go down that road?
It was an anatomical term. I didn't say anything that's. Crass is true.
I think Aditi just threw her phone across the room.
We haven't discussed Kenny Pickett's fake slides.
Did you? I loved it. I loved it. It made every defensive player that talks about football for a living mad, and I loved every second of it.
Why is that different than a juke? Like, why isn't that just a movie?
Because the quarterback is thought to be a protected player, and when he gives himself up or looks that way.
Like Ryan Clark, who was a stone-cold killer out there, said basically, this is going to be the start of something that leads to a targeting call because somebody's not going to give up, like going to think that the quarterback's okey-doking them and just drill them next time they actually do slide.
Here's a question. If he fakes the slide and continues the run, and then the defensive player catches up to him and lays him out, should there be a penalty?
I mean, does he do it within the bounds of the
rules? No, because you are a runner at that point.
Exactly.
No, but you're a runner. That's the whole point. And this is what Keith Butler keeps on saying. When Baker Mayfield or Lamar Jackson or Joe Burrow turns into a runner, he is a runner. And he is not afforded the same protections as a quarterback when he turns into a runner. So at that point, he is a runner. And if you lay him out, he's a runner.
I did love that game, though, Saturday night, Aditi. I'm not a Pitt guy by school. I'm a Penn State guy who doesn't root for Penn State. But
why not?
I never one time in my life have I liked the football program there. I rooted for Tommy Frazier in Nebraska in the mid-90s when Penn State had Kerry Collins and Bobby Engram and Kajana. I was a huge Nebraska option fan. Yes, true story.
Okay.
But it was surreal to watch Pitt actually go and after one extremely nervous quarter just kick the unholy snot out of somebody. That was surreal.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.